We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Today's episode is brought to you by the folks over at SeatGeek, the best and easiest to use ticket platform out there. They take the confusion out of buying tickets using a 0 to 10 scoring system and a green is good, red is bad color rating system so you and your loved ones get the best deal possible. So whether it's going to see our beloved Red Legs at Great American Ballpark, the Bengals over at Paycor, FC Cincinnati, one of the area college teams, or pretty much anything in between, use promo code RIVERFRONT at checkout and receive $20 off your first order. Click the link in the show notes to download the app and get started. That's Riverfront, one word, for $20 off.
What's up, everybody? How we doing? And welcome to the 19th, that's right, already 19th installment of NBA Friday here on the Riverfront U Media Network. I don't even know why it's Riverfront U anymore. We haven't had a college show in here in months. We probably should just call us the Riverfront Hoops Network at this point. I don't know. I'll run that by the powers that be, but see what they have to say about it. But regardless, I'm Tim Daniel, and everyone's back. It's been like one way or another. We've had like either it's just two of us or someone came in and helped me out. Well, you guys weren't available one way or another, but the three of us here, me, Sean, Parker, I didn't know if this would ever happen again.
What's going on? Here we are. Excited to be back.
Parker was like, oh man, I can't miss another podcast so much. He doesn't have his glasses.
Yeah, literally. I can't see for shit right now, but they're somewhere in my house. I'll find them eventually. Yeah. I wasn't too worried about it. I was literally on a 30-minute search for him. I texted Tim. I was like, I'm going to be 5 minutes late. Didn't say why. And I was like, all right. I was like, it's 9:06. I got to get on. It is what it is.
That's like, so we have on our upstairs TV, we've got the TCL, like Roku TV, the smallest remote in the universe besides like the Apple TV remotes. And once a week, we lose that remote, my wife and I, in the couch somewhere. And it's the worst thing. I'm like, I'm about to just like put like a giant 2x4 and tape it to it.
Yeah, the bad thing with glasses too, as you know as well, is when you're looking for glasses, you don't have your glasses, so you can't see at all.
You're like real life Velma from Scooby-Dooing.
You're literally like on the floor, like just trying to feel for them. Like you can't tell unless I'm really close up, then I can see. But that's it.
I'm the opposite. I can see in the distance, but I can't see like.
Really? Yeah, no, I can see, but I have to be like right in front of you to see.
I tried to get Parker to wear his old rec specs from his high school playing days, and he wouldn't do it. So,
yeah,
no.
I don't think I
can.
We're all disappointed. We wanted to see it.
So,
get the people what they want.
So, this week's episode, we got a lot of fun things to talk about, like always. We're going to go through because I think we're at the point already where we know the 10 postseason teams in the league. Just kind of talk about how we feel about the each team could fair in the NBA playoffs. See if anyone can, if we feel anyone could actually catch them. Our flashback, we're going to discuss the Ray Allen shot in the 2013 NBA Finals.
13, yeah.
Talk about, see, you know, is it the greatest shot ever? And our draft is a fun one. As we know, Kevin Lynch joined me last week and he came up with a great idea for a Cincinnati based draft. And what that means is that the players that are eligible are, if you're in the NBA and you went to UC, you went to Xavier, or you're from the Northern Kentucky, Greater Cincinnati area, or played high school here, because there are some guys who played high school here or not from the area. kind of thing, you are eligible to be in the discussion. So we will have that draft as well. I don't even remember what the order is anymore, so we'll just make it up when we get there. Let's go ahead and get started here because, look, like we said, yeah, there's a month left. But if you look at the current standings for each conference, I think we basically have it set, potentially set in stone.
The West, definitely. The East, like, maybe the Nets could overtake the Hawks, but what does that affect in all reality?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, so kind of just want to go through it real quick and just kind of talk about how we, you know, do we feel these teams are contenders? Do we not believe in them? How do we feel when we see them overall? I guess we'll start the East or the West.
I feel like the West is more interesting, so we can start with the East.
Yeah, agreed. All right, so I think we all agreed Boston. They've already clinched their playoff spot. I think I still stand by. I think the NBA Finals runs through them this year. I think they win the title. I just think they're.
I do. I'm still concerned with some of their late game execution. Like, they still every once in a while, like that Cavs game the other night, and that's been their problem in the playoffs. Is they just, you know, sometimes late in the game they just can't score the basketball, and I don't know what it is. Bill Simmons rambles about this all the time, but, like, yeah, that's the only thing that scares me is their late game execution in close games.
I very much enjoyed that because, as we know, I just love the Celtics. And also, I bet Jason Tatum's over that night. So I hit that.
Did he hit his over?
I hit that and they choked. So
that's solid.
It was a wonderful night for Tim.
I agree with you guys. I think the Celtics, they've got to be in the NBA Finals this year at this point, unless, of course, and I wouldn't put it past him, and I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer to any of the Celtics fans that may be listening.
No,
right,
no, we
now.
Can. It's perfectly fine.
Okay, but I've seen this happen before. I've seen Porzingis play well, and then I've seen him have a knee problem or something. So until he can get out there in the playoffs with these guys and they can actually back up what they've been doing the whole season, it's one of those things I'm going to have to see it if it happens. You know what I mean?
I'm going to have to see him, like Jimmy Butler, not at least take him to seven games.
Yeah.
First, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Legitimately.
Well,
what is he, 2-1 versus Celtics since he's been on the Heat? And yeah, the one they lost
was
they
seven
very
games.
Easily. And that was the year they were the one seed. That was the one year they were actually good in the regular season.
Yeah. Yeah. They're the Celtics are 29-3 at home this year. That's madness.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Decent on the road, but obviously not 29-3 good.
One of the losses was to the Austin Reeves-led Lakers, too. That was one of the losses, which is crazy.
Sure was, because I know they were like 41-1 at home, and Austin Reeves was like, nope.
Yeah.
I think we kind of agree with Celtics. Milwaukee is interesting because obviously the top two are awesome. But the more you watch them, the more you're like, they stink at defense. They have no athleticism. I think they'll win the first round as long as it's not Philly. But I don't really see. They're probably going to make the Eastern Conference Finals because the rest of the East is not so good, but I don't love them.
The one thing I will say, though, with them is they have been number one in defensive efficiency since the All-Star break, and they've been number two in offense. So they've definitely been much better. Their only loss was last night to the Warriors, who've been playing really good as of late. And the Warriors were coming off of that horrific loss, so they definitely wanted to win that game. But I just can't count them out because Giannis is so damn good. Like, truthfully, he's so just overpowering and dominant. Like, it's you can't count him out.
That's fair. You're not wrong there. All right, that brings us to the Cavs, who Kevin and I talked about pretty extensively last week. I feel like the Cavs are great as long as they are the two seed.
Yeah.
Other than that, I have a lot of concerns about their playoff matchups because right now, if the season ended today, Miami goes their round one.
I think Miami beats them in five.
Yeah, I do too.
I'm not even joking.
I'm not either. And, you know, Mobley's now going to be out for a little while with a sprained ankle. Donovan Mitchell's been in and out. Max Strus is out. Darius Garland has not shot the ball well this year. It's his worst three-point shooting season of his career so far.
Yeah.
I really like this team. I'm not trying to, like, bash him by any means, but I just don't feel great if they end the year as the three seed and Miami comes to town.
Well, yeah. The thing is, that Knicks series, I think, scarred everybody because they looked so bad that you can't believe in them until you see it, because they were good last year in the regular season. So it's like, we got to see it first before we can believe in them. We got to see them win a playoff series because they looked that bad. It wasn't like it was a competitive series. They got ran off the floor by the Knicks. And Julius Randle, the Knicks arguably was their best player last year, was horrible the entire series, and they still lost. He was getting benched in the fourth quarters, and they still lost. So that should just tell you something. Like, they really did not perform well last year, and I think that's kind of why we can't believe in them yet. And like you said, too, if they're the two seed and they face, like, the Pacers, I would take them over the Pacers. But if they get the Heat or the Sixers with Joel Embiid, I'm taking the Sixers or the Heat.
Same. Yeah, same. All right.
I agree with you on that one, guys. We gonna talk about the Magic?
Yeah, I was gonna say, I was setting this up for you.
Are you
crossed over Magic?
Are you possibly pumped at the thought of an Orlando Magic Knicks first round series?
I am very much pumped.
I feel like that would be pretty classic, right?
I think the Knicks would win, but I would very much enjoy watching the series.
Also, and I want to say this, and as somebody, you know, who, you know, reads a lot of NBA Twitter and hype on Instagram and everything, do you guys feel like Paolo Banchero might be like one of the more underrated all-stars of the year? Like, this was a team that wasn't, they were good last year when he got there. It looked like they might make a playoff push. They didn't. But they've improved quite a bit. They're going to be in the playoffs. And this looks like a legit team in a couple of years. I mean, imagine if they would have won the lottery and gotten Victor Wembanyama, man. Like, what that could have done for this team. I mean, they would be so much more interesting. But I don't know, man. I don't think he's gotten his flowers this year at all.
And they have a solid number two as well.
Yeah, I do think a number one pick in their second year, being an all-star, averaging 23 points a game, taking their team to like a 4 or 5 seed would be talked about a lot more if it wasn't Paolo. I think it's because his play style is kind of boring. Yeah, is why.
He's actually not a good looking dude.
Yeah, I think he's not very he's not super athletic, and he's not some sharpshooter. He's kind of old school in his play style, and I think that's kind of why he doesn't get as much recognition. I think that has to be it, because if you just look at the numbers and what his production and what he's meant to his team, I mean, most people would freak out. Like, if Wembanyama did this next year, people would be freaking out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. Like,
he was the number one pick, which is the crazy part, because nobody talks about him.
He was the number one pick. He won Rookie of the Year, and went to his first All-Star game this year, and he's also gotten his team to a 4 seed. I mean, come on, guys. That's super impressive. We're not talking enough about it.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah, and Wagner, another stud. So it's like, I really like this team. I really like what they're building.
Markel Fultz and Suggs are just really solid in the backcourt.
Yeah.
I mean, Markel Fultz, yeah, he was a bust for the first pick, but he's carving out a really nice career. Just as he's a really solid player. Seriously.
Yeah.
I think, so we kind of talk about this. The Bengals show kind of talks about, like, Drew Sample, the 2020 second-round pick, and how people are like, he's a bust because he's a second-round pick. Like, yes. When you think about the second-round pick era of the Drew Sample draft, like, career, yes. But what he turned into for the Bengals has been very solid. That's Markel Fultz. Like, if you're like, just put the label on him, like, he was the number one overall pick, he did not live up to that. But after he left Philadelphia, he's really carved something out for him. He's a really good on-ball defender. He's awesome with ball pressure. He can blitz the point guard. And, you know, he's a super athletic and get to the rim.
And he's still getting better. He's only 25. He's still getting better. So, you know, if he ends up being a 5 years of his career, he averages 15-5 on a really good team. I mean, that's a solid career.
Pretty solid, yeah.
I don't think you're going to be able to consider him like a bust, per se.
I agree. Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, sometimes it's just point guard's so hard. Like,
And DeAndre Ayton's not a bust. He didn't live up to the number one pick, but he's still a good player overall.
Right. Yeah. People just are always going to look at him for you were drafted over Luka.
And
that's not his fault.
100%. And Fultz, at least, he was drafted over Lonzo. So it's like, All right, right, that's fine. I mean, yeah, Tatum was third, but Tatum wasn't in the discussion for the number one pick. It was Fultz or Lonzo. So, like,
right. Yeah, I'm with you. The Knicks. I love a healthy Knicks team, but without Randall, without OG Anunoby,
without Brunson right now, too.
Yeah, without Brunson.
Brunson.
Mitchell Robinson obviously been out for the year for the most.
How long is Randall out for?
It changes like all the time.
Yeah.
They don't know. Okay.
Like, there's a chance he comes back in a week, I feel like, and there's a chance he comes back, doesn't come back this year.
Right.
And
same with OG. Brunson? It's been changing constantly, too. Brunson will be back. Like, he was questionable all yesterday and then got ruled out. Like, he'll be back probably next game. I think it was just like a one game, make sure he's okay thing.
Yeah.
So they're kind of limping into the playoffs.
They looked awesome when they were playing.
Yeah. A tips team in the playoffs? No.
Yeah.
No. Never. Doesn't happen.
No.
Still, I think there has to be a middle ground between the minutes Tibbs plays his players and the minutes like Tyrese Haliburton plays at the age of 22 or 23. Yeah. I've talked about this so many times. That Tyrese Haliburton plays like 30 minutes a night. And I'm like, why? He's 23 years old. Like, let him play some more minutes. But
I agree.
Yeah. I think there's got to be a middle ground. Like, that 35 minutes a game is a good sweet spot, I feel like. That's a nice middle ground.
Yeah, I'm with you. Then at 6, we have Miami. And we all obviously are confident the Heat will do some crazy thing where they'll win and somehow get to the Eastern Conference Finals because that's what they do. Play
they
just, Boston.
They have no fear. Like, it's like, even if, like, I watched them against the Nuggets the other night. They're down like 15 with like 6 minutes left. They cut it to 2 with like 30 seconds. It's like, what? Like, and like, it's just like, they're so, like, they don't get sped up. Like, it just genuinely seems like they don't fear anybody and don't panic ever. Like, and Bam is so damn good. Just that, all around basketball, he does, he's just good at everything, legitimately. Like, he gets switched onto a point guard. If you watch Bam play defense, it's actually kind of entertaining to watch.
It is, yeah.
Defense. Like, he's that good at defense. I don't think he gets enough recognition because AD and Gobert are so good at protecting the rim, but, like, Bam switches out on point guards and defends them at a high level. He switched out on the night they upset the Kings. I think it was last week where, you know, the game I'm talking about where nobody played besides Bam pretty much. It was Bam and Duncan Robinson and Jaime Jaquez.
And Haywood Highsmith.
And Haywood Highsmith and Kevin Love. That was the lineup. And Bam was out there on Fox and Monk, like, legitimately giving them trouble on the perimeter guard.
You know, his college teammates. He had to let them know who was the best.
Yeah. Would you guys say he's like the most versatile defender right now?
Would you say what?
Would you guys say he's the most versatile defender in the NBA?
Yeah.
For a big man?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah. I think
Davis
so.
Could switch out on guards too, but not as well. Gobert, no, can't. He just protects the rim so damn good.
Yeah.
That's the 6 seeded playoff teams right now. So 7 being Philly, can never count them out, obviously.
I think if Embiid comes back with at least, like, I don't know, if they get him back by April, I feel like they'll sneak back into the 6th seed. Like, honestly.
Is he planning on coming back before the end of the season?
He says he is.
Yeah. The crazy part, though, too, is this team was like 31-12 or something. Like, they were really good.
Oh, at one point. Yeah.
Like, they were right there with the Bucks, right behind the Celtics, too, at the beginning of the season. For the first half of the season. And then they've been – I wonder what their record is without Embiid. It's got to be like 7 or 8 games under 500.
Yeah.
It's got to be. It's got to be something close to that.
What a disappointing thing to happen to a team that was playing so well. Because
Maxey was incredible. He's out now.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, he's not playing on Friday. So – yeah, I mean, and like, I like the Lowry pickup for them as far as like a buyout candidate.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't think it's like we're winning a playoff series because we have Kyle Lowry by any means, but
it helps a little bit. I mean, Lowry sucked last regular season and then was hitting big shots in the playoffs and like looked like old Kyle Lowry in the playoffs. So it's like, I don't think it hurts you by picking up Kyle Lowry.
Agreed.
Who's the 8 seed right now? The Pacers?
Yeah, by like a long shot. It's 4.5 games over the 9.
Yeah, I just I think Siakam made them worse, truthfully. I'll be honest. I truthfully think he made them worse. I think Halliburton was better with Buddy Hield out there on the wing than Siakam. I truthfully think so because he can't shoot that well. And I think like the thing that makes Halliburton great is just driving and kicking the entire game. And they were their record was better before they got Pascal Siakam.
I will say this. You're not wrong.
And I don't trust Siakam at the end of games. Like every time I watch them, it's a close game. I swear Siakam falls apart and does something bad.
I was gonna say, like, I agree with you, but I do think, because obviously the reason they made that trade is he's going to sign an extension. There's just no way that the Pacers can afford to take a risk like that.
Yeah.
I think a training camp with him is going to make a lot of difference. And they're going to be a lot better next year with those two and have the availability to get additional guys around them.
Yeah, I just don't think it fits right now because Halliburton needs the ball in his hands the entire game, pretty much. And, like, Siakam is more of a ball dominant player than you realize. Like he's a good facility. Like he's much more of a ball dominant player than you realize.
Yeah, he is.
Like legitimately, he really is. Like he's better with the ball in his hands than he is off the ball. And I just don't think it's like the right fit.
I'm going to say something I never thought I'd say in my life too. I don't think Rick Carlisle's done a good job coaching this team. Like
no,
he,
I don't
he just like, he makes so many different things. Like Ben Mathurin will score like 34 one night.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh man, Ben Mathurin is about to do his thing. And then like the next night, it's like, we played him for 10 minutes. He scored 4 points. He was 2 of 9. It's like, and then his draft strategy. So he drafts Jairus Walker, who like, I loved Jairus Walker in college. I was a huge fan. And it's like, well, he can't help us. It's like, how can he not help you? And then it's like, well, what took Ben Shepherd and Lynn the first? He's a sniper. Doesn't play. They got Kendall Brown. Like
he did to them. He did have like 25 the other night against the Mavs with like 7 threes. I was watching the game. He did go off Shepherd. Against the Mavericks.
Yeah, I love Ben Shepherd.
I just don't think. Well, I think his rotations are horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
I've said that multiple times because I've talked about the fact like it's like he doesn't. It's like they don't care about like their seating whatsoever, and I'm like. Why? Like they'll be in a game. Like I was watching them versus Spurs the other night. They cut the lead. They were down like 12. Their bench cut the lead to 4. Yes, the bench is playing well. Get Tyrese Halliburton back in the damn game now. You're down 4. You're in striking distance with like he had already been sitting like 8 minutes. Then he sits him for another 2 minutes. Now they're down 12 with 5 minutes left, and you sub him in. Like why? I don't get it. This guy is the new Kawhi. I'm not a fan. I'm becoming not a fan of Tyrese Halliburton because I hate the way they use him. I hate it.
I'm kind of shocked how well Obi Toppin's fit in there, actually.
Yeah, because he's shooting well.
Yeah, it's like kind of been like, because, you know, with the Knicks, it was like, well, he can dunk. And like here, it's like, oh, yeah, we can just have him, like, he catches lobs, he does all this. And, you know, they use him to his ability. But I like the team. I just don't think that they're at that point yet. Like I said at the beginning of the year, they were the easiest over. For win total to pick in the league. Like
what was it at?
35.5.
That's all it was?
Yeah.
Wow. That's right. Yeah. Have they hit it? They gotta be close.
They're 34 right now. They're 34 and 28.
I was like, they're gonna end with like
They're 35 and 28. So
yeah, they're gonna end with like 45 wins, probably 46 wins, something like
they
that.
They lost tonight because Anthony Edwards had a game winning block.
Not surprising. That was the easiest over of the night. Anthony Edwards 29.5 points. No cat, Pacers play no defense. Pretty simple.
Yeah, I took Curry over 26.5 against the next team we're about to talk about. So,
let's talk about these superstars.
Oh, yeah. The Chicago Bulls.
Hey, shout out DeMar DeRozan, man. His longevity is not talked about enough. This guy is, like, it looked like he was slowing down earlier in the year. And he's averaging like 28 a game over the last month and a half. Like he looks awesome right now.
Him and Kobe have been really good.
Him and Kobe have been awesome. And the Chicago Bulls are squandering some, you know, great playing by two great players, you know, for mediocrity and not building around anything or doing anything, period. Just get out with all this. Get out.
Their bench is so bad. Like, who? Terry Phillips.
So bad.
Terry Phillips, Dalen Terry. Who's the one guy, the new white guy that they just
got? Yeah. Bitnum.
They're like, he had 10 points.
The most frustrating thing, I took Bulls money line the other night versus the Kings. The game came back and won by 20. So I was so happy. But I was watching that game at first early. Yeah, I was watching that game early. And I'm just sitting there watching their bench. And every shot they take, I just assume is not going in. By like Terry Phillips and like those guys. I'm like, that's not going in. Like, there's no way that's going in. Like, the only people I trust to make a shot is DeRozan and Kobe White. Because Vooch even is very inconsistent.
Oh, he's terrible. I hate him.
I think I would like him if he didn't play for my team.
Like, I'm glad I'm not a Bulls fan. Like, it seems like a very frustrating team to watch.
Not fun.
They've been like 6 games over 500 since the beginning of the season, since that first like month.
Yeah.
Like, they really
They dug themselves quite a hole.
Yeah, no, if they didn't, what was their record at the lowest point? They were really bad to start the year. Weren't they like terrible. 7-16 or something like that? Yeah. So if they didn't start off the year like that, this team would be like the 4 seed.
I know.
legitimately. Or the 5 seed, but they just dug themselves such a hole.
I know, man. That's our life.
I won't be shocked though if they do make the playoffs. I won't be shocked.
I still expect they're going to make the playoffs.
I think they're going to win a play-in game. The play-in game, I do, or the two games they have to win.
Yeah, I'm with Pussy. I do too.
So then they can lose to the Celtics in 4.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe 5 if DeRozan just drops 40 one game. That's the only shot.
And then we have the Hawks, who just stink out loud. Like, Jalen Johnson's really fun. And I hate the rest of the team. Like, Trae Young's great. He's an awesome basketball player, but I'm not a fan of his. Like, there's this rumor the Lakers are going to trade from the offseason. I would be fine with it because he'd be a good basketball fit, but also I would hate rooting for him. Like, I would actually hate it.
The thing with the Hawks is, like I just discussed about the Bulls, their lack of depth is crazy too. Like, your backup shooting guard is Garrison Matthews.
Yeah.
And like, your backup center is Bruno Fernando. Like, right now. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
shout out to Big Ten.
What is up with the East with like the random role players on these teams that like you've never heard of, and then they're just starting on the team? I swear the West doesn't have these players besides the Suns. The Suns do.
Yeah, but
they have like Saben Lee and you know what I'm talking about though?
Guys who are like star Pistons that are like,
you get what I'm talking? The Pistons have like more talented role players, I would say, legitimately. Like, they have at least they have names like Evan Fournier now and like James
Malachi Flynn. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's like guys you could be like, yeah, they're in the NBA, but like the Hawks, I'm trying to think of who else am I thinking of? It's a weird team. Like, you got Sadiq Bey and Jalen Johnson both averaging like 15. They're solid, I guess. Yeah. And then
Clint Capella is over there, and
on Yunsu, but he's been hurt for a while. They're a very random team as well. Something about those East random role players. They just got a lot of them in the Eastern Conference.
They were like, they really got Quinn Snyder like, oh man, this could be great. We're going to play defense now. It's going to be awesome. Like, you saw what he did at Utah. It's like, well, you guys.
Yeah, is Quinn Snyder on the hot seat?
Probably not. It's the Hawks. No one really cares. So
they horrible.
They are perpetually mediocre or bad.
Wasn't it like the last 10 years?
Yeah.
The last 10 years, they had the same win-loss record.
Like, and they had that. They had that outlier year too, where they won like 63 games with Kyle Korver as an all-star.
Well, I think they had 4 all-stars that year. It was
Jeff Teague.
But that was just them playing. You know,
the East sucked back then too. Yeah. The East was horrible.
I mean, that was not a great year for basketball. And on top of that, like, I know we're talking about the Hawks have always done this. This has always been their MO, no matter what, for the last 20 years. You know, Chicago doesn't have an excuse. Hawks can be the Hawks. You know, just let them. And you know, eventually they will trade Trae Young. it's going to happen at some point, but where does he go? Who does he
help? I love him on the Spurs. I do. He would help the hell out. He would help the Spurs so much. Because whatever you say about Trae Young, the dude's a good point guard. Like, he can pass the ball very – he's very unselfish, like, legitimately, in terms of basketball playing. He's very unselfish. He really doesn't – he doesn't as much take terrible shots anymore. He really does look to facilitate first, seriously. And I think he would make Wembanyama the MVP of the league in, like, 2 years. And the timeline matches. Trae Young's still young as hell. He's, like, 24 or 25.
Yeah, this is – These are some bold predictions. I like it.
Yeah. I still don't want him to go to the Lakers.
I want him on the Spurs because I think he would make the Spurs a playoff team.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's go to the West. Probably go a little bit quicker here than we did in the East. Minnesota. If everyone's getting hurt, I don't believe in them.
I don't believe in them healthy.
Yeah. I just – there's a lot of like
– they're too young.
Yeah, there's a lot
of never done it. They've never done it before.
What did Bill Simmons say the other day? There's a lot of knucklehead with this team.
They're giving me 2015 Hawks vibes.
Yeah.
they might. All right. It depends who they play in the first round. If I think they'll win their first round series, but like if they get like the Mavs in the first round, I would take them. I would think maybe. I'm not sure. Like I think I would take the Lakers over them in the first round or the Suns. Maybe the. The only thing with the Warriors is the lack of size that scares me against that team. Because we saw what happened last year versus the Lakers. The Warriors just couldn't guard the post versus the Lakers.
Yeah, but this like weird lineup they're doing all of a sudden works. Just like Steph Curry, like Jonathan Kuminga, Klay Thompson off the bench.
Yeah.
Draymond Green as a small ball five thing is like, oh, this is going well.
Podzimski, the least aesthetically pleasing play style I've ever seen. His game is so ugly, but it works. I don't know.
He's like a good Scalabrini as far as like this weird nonchalant.
at least three times a game you see Podzimski like brick a three, then grab his rebound, then dribble it off his foot, then grab it back and make a layup. And you're like, that was the ugliest basket I've ever seen, but it works. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think like I'm with you. I would take Minnesota against like Dallas. I would take them against Sacramento, but like Golden State or LA, I literally have a conversation with you.
I don't know if I'd take them over Sacramento. Sacramento beat them literally the other night with just Malik Monk. Like De'Aaron Fox didn't even play and they beat them.
That's true.
But Sabonis has to prove it in the playoffs. He was horrible last year. So
yeah.
We'll yep.
Oklahoma City. I think the only thing you can really say that you're worried about with them is experience. They're pretty talented.
I believe in them.
I don't believe it. I will say this, though, because there's a good chance this matchup could happen because the Mavericks keep slipping in the standings bad.
I would take the Mavs over them.
Well, I would, too. But I'm saying the Mavs keep slipping. I'm saying the Mavs might end up like they might end up being in the 9-10 game. And like if the Lakers come up to I would take the Lakers over them in the first round over the Thunder. They have whooped their ass three out of four times this season, like won by 20 plus three out of the four games versus the Thunder. Because they have no size. Any team with size, I'm taking over the Thunder.
Okay. But let's say, what's a good matchup for the Thunder? Would you say the Kings are a good matchup right now?
Yeah, the Kings. New Orleans. I think New Orleans, yes.
New Orleans.
But like if they have to play, like for example, if the Timberwolves and Thunder played, I think the Timberwolves would kick their ass because of size. Same thing with the Nuggets and Thunder. Same thing with like the Lakers, the one thing they have is size. Like if you have a dominant big man.
Even with Cat out, though?
No, not with Cat out. But I'm assuming he'll be back for the playoffs.
Okay. For their sake.
Because their lack of size is actually, like, concerning. Did you see, like, what the Lakers did and then what Nurkic did to them? They rebound.
31 rebounds?
Yeah, I think in the third quarter, too, Davis in that game had 12 and 11 in the third quarter. I was like,
He was pretty unstoppable.
Like, they just can't – yeah, they can't guard inside at all.
So, Denver, I think we all kind of agree. Like, I know they've been really up and down this year. I just don't think they care about the regular season. I think once the playoffs starts, they kick in the gear, they'll be fine. The Clippers –
they'll be more than fine.
I go back and forth on the Clippers because obviously you look at their roster, you look at who's there, and you're like, oh man, especially the top two. You're like, yeah, you can definitely win playoff series with those two guys. But then they have these games like the Laker game. And I understand Paul George didn't play that game where it's like they're up 19 with 10 minutes to go and they find a way to lose. And
they did it like two nights later against the Bucks. They were up like 17 in the third quarter and lost to the Giannis-less Bucks. Just Dame and Chris Middleton. No Chris Middleton either. It was just Dame Lillard dropping 45 on them.
Yeah, so like there's a lot to like about them as far as a basketball team. But there are a lot of concerns as far as late game execution and just kind of knowing who's going to be the person you can kind of rely on. Like, it should always be Kawhi. But for some reason, it's not always Kawhi with them.
I think for them, they're either going to be second-round exits or third-era conference champion finals exits. Because the way the seeding's going to work, they're pretty much probably going to be the four seed.
Yeah.
They're probably – the Pelicans are pretty much locked to the five seed because 6 through 10 is, like, within two games, I believe. It's tight as hell. Yeah, it's tight as hell. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if the Warriors or Lakers jumped out of the play-in and got the sixth seed. I really wouldn't be shocked because both of those teams have been playing better over the last month and a half than the teams ahead of them. They both have, by far. So, if they cover a little more ground, one of them will get in there. But the Pelicans are kind of locked at five. So, I think if the Clippers play the Pelicans, they're definitely going to win that series. And then you're going to probably get the Timberwolves or the Thunder in the first round or in the second round. And I think they would beat either of those teams too. So I kind of think they're going to be a conference finals team, but I don't think they would beat the Nuggets at all.
I don't either.
I don't think they would shine against the Nuggets.
They can like lose right in New Orleans. I just suspect at some point Zion Williams is going to miss 2 weeks. I hate to say it but you know, obviously they've put him on a little bit of a restriction this year. He's not going to qualify for all NBA because of how many games they've sat him out. And he has played well majority of the season. So I'm not trying to like discredit him, but it's just, at just some point you just know it's like Chris Paul in the playoffs. It's clockwork. It's like, all right, it's May. What's the injury? Yeah. Like, and I hate to say it that way because I am happy that he's playing well, but I just don't see a scenario where he finishes the season.
And my question is, will they unleash Zion in the playoffs? Because he's on like the Wembanyama. Like his per 36 numbers are still very good, but he only plays like 29 minutes a night, I think. So like he's not playing very many minutes in all seriousness. So like, is he going to be able? Like, are they going to play him? Because you're going to have to play your stars 42 plus minutes in the playoffs. Like that's what happens.
Yeah, for sure. And like, if you aren't ramped up for that,
no, I mean, yeah.
Ingram,
exactly.
Ingram obviously will, you know, have some crazy game in the playoffs where he scores like 36, and he's like
he's super always due efficient. For one of those games,
right? But you know, CJ McCollum has not ever always been like he's had like playoff moments, like that game 7 that they forced to like win to go play Golden State. He was awesome
and then
in that game,
off the floor.
But he's not necessarily been like Mr. Playoffs. So
no, he's a good third or fourth option. But
And would you say Jonas Valanciunas in the West, as far as the playoff teams, might be the worst starting center of the 10 teams?
Let me think. Nah, he's better than Nurkic.
He's better than Nurkic. I would probably put him.
I think he's better than Zubac.
Yeah, I was just about to say he's probably better than Zubac. So third worst.
I guess Chet is a center. He is their center technically, but he just gets dominated on the defensive end. Like Chet, I know he blocks shots, but he just gets bullied on the glass. Like it's bad to watch.
Yeah, he's more of a shot blocker than a guy who's grabbing boards. I mean, he gets boards from being semi tall, but he gets knocked around everywhere. That dude's gonna have to put on some muscle.
He's gonna have to put on some weight.
He's like 144 pounds.
I love him, man. I think he's a very fun player, and I think he's going to be a great player. And it's, you know, it's great to see how well he's done this season. I think we were all hoping he would do as well as he did, but he's got to put some weight because he is getting absolutely bullied, man. And that,
I
think he has just like 7 boards a game at 7'2".
Yeah,
so that's not great.
Yeah, should be getting more, and that's you're getting 7 boards just by default being tall.
Just
and,
being 7 foot two, exactly. Yeah. He's not grabbing them because of physicality.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think any other year, I'd be really high on Phoenix in a playoff series. Obviously, you look at the three guys they have, but so if the season ends today, they're going to Denver. No chance in hell they win that series. No. So let's say they slip down to the 7.
Yeah, I think they're going to slip into the play-in, if I'm being honest.
And I think they can win the play-in tournament. But yeah. I also, if we've seen how Dallas plays against Phoenix for the last 3 years, it's not like it's changed, even with the guys they've brought in. So say that 7-8 game is the Mavericks and the Suns. I might lean Dallas in that game.
Yeah.
Also, the thing with the Suns, they're the Bulls of the East, but more talented. Yeah. Like better no star players. Their depth is awful to watch. Like against the Nuggets the other night, like if Grayson Allen isn't hitting 10 threes, they're horrible. Like the rest of the team. Like they have no other like options.
Oh, for
like
sure.
you go to the bench and you're relying on Saban Lee to knock down shots.
Like Josh Okogie and
the Suns were so frustrated to watch, like if you bet on Kevin Durant or Booker, because all teams do is just double team them. Because why wouldn't you? Like if all three stars aren't on the floor, they're just screwed. Like because how bad their depth is, and
completely.
They just double team them.
Yeah, it's not
good. And they can't hit shots besides Grayson Allen. Like Eric Gordon, for being such a good shooter, like I never think his threes are going.
I know. I mean, he's part of the reason the Rockets had that 27 missed threes in a row game. So
yeah, like I never forget. Shots are going down.
Never forget.
Never forget.
All right, we've kind of already touched on these four teams, so we'll go through it real quick. Sacramento, obviously, I think as far as these four that we haven't talked about, I probably like the most besides the Lakers. I just feel like the Lakers are just a team you can't count out.
The thing with the Kings is I would take the Warriors over them just to win a series. Like if I had to bet money, if the Warriors do make the playoffs, like who's going to win a series? I would bet money on the Warriors over the Kings, to be honest.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, you're probably right. Dallas, hard to count out Luka and Kyrie, and Daniel Gafford's been awesome since he got traded there for some reason. I don't know what happened, but probably just so happy to get out of Washington.
Are they winning tonight? Because they've lost like 6 out of 7. They've been falling apart.
You hate to see it. Yeah, they're up. They just beat Miami.
They're gonna beat Miami.
Yeah. All right. So, and then Golden State in LA, we've talked about quite a bit. I just have a hard time picking against the Lakers in the circumstance of, do I think they're going to win the title? No. But do I like them against some of these like Minnesota's and Oklahoma cities?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Yep.
I wouldn't say, I don't know if I put money on them, but I'd feel pretty comfortable in saying I think they could win the series.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I'm going to be honest. I don't think they can win the title. I don't either. But
no.
I wouldn't be like just so caught off guard if they're facing the Nuggets in the conference finals again, like legitimately, because
possible.
If you get that first upset, then you're going to be playing probably the Thunder, the Timberwolves. It's like, they could probably beat both of those teams if they faced them both. So it's like, I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked.
I wouldn't either.
If they get swept by the Nuggets again in the conference finals.
Yeah. Cause that's like the only team that's true. And it's like, they're not a good matchup for.
Yeah, they just can't beat the Nuggets.
Yeah, and you get it. I mean,
yeah,
you certainly understand. But yeah, I think that's fair. Just got to look at the 10 teams on each side there. Let's get to our flashback here because I think this is a fun one. So I want to go ahead and relive what I think is the greatest shot in NBA history. And that is Ray Allen's game tying 3 in game 6 of the 13 finals when the San Antonio Spurs staff is literally bringing the Larry O'Brien, they're bringing the ropes onto the floor, and Ray Allen hits the shot and literally says to get that stuff off the floor. Riverfront here now, we're trying to be more family oriented, so I'm not exactly quoting him.
Get that stuff off the floor.
Yeah. What's when you watch Major League on TV and there's a scene when Taylor goes he's like, oh, I'm gonna cut your face off.
So funny, the copy that I had of Major League growing up was taped off of USA back in the 90s, so it was the heavily edited one.
Yeah.
And it was like Charlie Sheen yelling at one of the characters, "Forget you, man." Yeah. I thought that was so funny.
Oh man, it's the best. We just did Major League for Riverfront Family Movie Night, and it was pretty fun. We got in a Slack and put the movie on, just hung out and had a couple drinks and watched the movie. It was great. But there's so much about that game and that finals and what that led to from that moment. So I really feel like when I say like that's the best shot ever, I don't know if I like, and there's been great shots. Obviously, Derek Fisher's 0.3 seconds against the Spurs. Obviously, Kyrie game 7 against the Warriors. Dame eliminating the Thunder. You know, Jordan's last shot against Brian Russell when he pushed off. There's so many like different ones, but like that saved a freaking dynasty, basically.
Yeah, yeah. That was the only one that was like, if this doesn't go in, we lose the series and we lose the finals. Like the rest of those, like the Jordan one, it goes to game 7.
Right.
And like, you're still going to take Michael Jordan in game 7, honestly. Like it's like.
Always.
Yeah, exactly. Always. So it's like, I don't know. I think it's the greatest shot ever. I remember watching that shot and I was so depressed as a little kid. Like, oh, we lost, whatever. Like I was so upset. And then he hit that shot and I went berserk. I remember that. I went Kawhi. The thing that people forget about is Kawhi and Ginobili are the reason that shot was even able to happen. They both missed a free throw at the free throw line, trying to like the Heat were playing the foul game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, like Bosch's rebound is incredible. If you like go back and watch the highlight, everyone remembers Ray Allen's shot, and rightfully so. But the fact that like Bosch pulls that rebound down, if you like,
is it like three people he's rebounding over?
Yeah.
Yeah, because LeBron misses the shot, and Bosch has to jump over, and like Duncan's one of them. You know what I mean? It's not like it's like, so, you know, arguably the best rebounder of his generation, Tim Duncan, up there with Ben Wallace, Shaquille O'Neal, obviously. But, sure. And he's like, he pulls it down over him. The fact that Ray Allen has the thought process of just like knowing where his feet are and that whole thing where it's like he's not rushed.
Yeah.
He just goes like into his position. It's freaking insane.
Yeah, and the balance on the shot, like, he goes straight up with it. He doesn't, like, fade away on it, which is just, it's mind-blowing. And in today's league, that's probably an and-1-3.
Yeah.
In today's league, like, for not giving him room to land, really. Seriously.
And the fact that it was in Miami when he hits the shot just makes it even better.
And everybody knew the Heat were going to win the series once that shot went in, almost, because all the moment, like, as long as the Spurs didn't hit a buzzer beater to win the game right there, because that game went to overtime, correct?
Mm-hmm. Sean and I have made fun of this like 100 times with Heat fans, and like we've actually had Heat fans yell at us on socials for saying it. But if you remember, like they thought they lost. They were like, "All right, we're done. We lost the finals. The Spurs won." They're leaving. Like they're shown like on ESPN and ABC. They're shown leaving the arena in droves.
Yeah,
worst fan base.
And then Ray Allen
down 20.
They don't deserve that team.
Yeah.
Never have.
They were down 20 at one point in the game.
At some point. At some point in the game, weren't they down 20?
And then when Ray Allen hits the shot and they get notice of it on their phones,
they all
see them all running back to the arena, like trying to get back in. It's so funny. I was trying to think about, like, I mentioned those other shots, just trying to think of anything else that could potentially rival that. You did say like Kyrie's shot, obviously, if he doesn't hit that, huge. The game probably goes to overtime against Golden State. Because that, like, everyone remembers the block and the shot. No one remembers how ugly that last 3 minutes of that game is.
No, Tim, it was longer than that, I believe.
I think there's only 4.5 minutes where the only scoring is LeBron at the foul line.
Yeah. It was an ugly. I miss that kind of basketball. I said this before. I miss that kind of ugly basketball somewhat. I really do. That game was awesome. Kyrie's shot was awesome. But if that doesn't go in, there's still probably like a 60% chance the Cavs win the game. Probably because the Warriors literally could not do anything on offense for a while. Like the Cavs were still at least getting good shots. They were just missing. The Warriors were getting horrible shots, if you remember. Like, they were not taking open looks. They were so set on threes.
There's two moments in NBA history where, like, I think I know, like, I know that they happen, but I still expect it to go the other way. So, and they're both in series we're talking about here. So, game 7 of the Heat-Spurs series, Tim Duncan has that roller where it's like he is,
the little layup to tie the game. Yeah.
And misses it. And it's like, I watched that clip and I'm like, oh, that's going in. Yeah. Even though, like, I know in the back of my head it's not, because it's Tim Duncan. And then in that Cavs series, I'm like, oh, Steph Curry's going to get by Kevin Love. There's no way Kevin Love's going to let him, like, going to stop him. It's like, yeah. I still can't believe that happened.
I mean, he could have gotten past Kevin Love. He just was so set on a three, to be honest with you. That's what I think. I think he just mentally was flustered, to be honest with you. And he was like, oh, I'm going to try and win it here. And then didn't work.
Yeah, it's
insane. But I'm glad he didn't go to the basket.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, is there any other shots you guys can potentially think of that you would like put in the conversation? I think we all kind of made the general consensus. That's the one.
NBA, not basketball, just NBA.
Yeah, I mean, Leitner's shot, I know people will start to bring up.
Leitner's shot. Yeah, sadly, I wasn't born, but still, you know, Tim was like, what were you, like two? That one in.
Just about to be three.
Okay, so you don't remember it at all either. Yeah, I'd say NBA history, it has to be the best shot ever. Honestly, even though the stakes aren't as high, I would put Dame's shot over the Thunder, like, two.
That was pretty awesome.
Because, like, it was literally a 40-foot step back.
Stakes weren't high, though.
Yeah. I mean, for the Trailblazers fans, I feel like it's pretty damn high in Portland. They don't win many series.
Yeah, it is. It is. But that team also did make the NBA Finals, what, two out of 3 years or two out of 4 years back in the early 90s.
Yeah.
Late 80s, early 90s. So, I mean,
that was 30 years before that shot, though.
Hey, you know what? At least they got something.
I think
finals appearances.
The Derek Fisher shot I mentioned is kind of fascinating because how little time was on the clock and literally saved the Malone Payton Lakers.
Didn't they change a rule after that, too?
Yep.
They did.
That shot changed the rule.
Catch it in the air.
Yeah. Because and like that shot is literally like everyone thinks they're doomed, and I think Malone and Payton are like, well, this was not great because Payton and Phil Jackson did not get along at all.
What was because the series they both won the call to play.
They were down 2-1, I believe.
Wasn't it the Western Conference Finals?
I think that was the semis.
The semis. Yeah, was it versus Spurs, correct?
Yeah, because I can't remember who they beat in the Western Conference Finals, but obviously we know what happened when they played the Pistons, which is going to be 2004. That's a flashback we need to do. That team is a mess.
Who the hell would have even been in the Western Conference Finals in 2004 if it wasn't Sacramento? Sacramento. I was going to say Nash wasn't on the Suns yet, was he? Was it the next year he came? 2004-05, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Were the Mavs in the Western Conference Finals then?
Not yet. No, they didn't make it till 06 when they played Miami in the finals.
Yeah.
That was one of those years was when they were the one seed and they lost to the We Believe Warriors. I think that was 07.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, because it was the year after they made the finals. It was the year Dirk won MVP.
Yeah.
And then he had to go to the MVP ceremony after he got eliminated as the one seed.
Absolutely brutal.
Yeah. And they won like 67 games that year.
They were
too.
Awesome.
Like,
they were super good.
Yeah, it wasn't just like a 54 win one season.
I mean, they got their lucky NBA championship. So, you know.
They did.
They should never have won that title. Slater.
Oh, they God. No. Like, if they.
They won it. There's nothing you can take away from it. But
if they didn't have JJ Barea.
Right.
Who single-handedly destroyed the Heat.
Yeah, and Jason Terry. Oh, I remember that one actually, and I was upset. I was down
just
bad.
Actually my so you know 2K
I was like nine.
2K is that eras mode thing now where you can go back and play at different time frames.
Yeah,
I just played through, and I played with that Heat team because it starts the first year of the Heatles in the LeBron era, and I actually had the same finals, and I beat them in seven, and it was like justice.
Justice has been served.
Yeah, but. Yeah, Ray Allen shot, elite. It's a fun YouTube go back and watch all the time. Never disappointing. Sorry, Spurs fans, that you guys just happen to keep getting generational bigs. So you
the
know.
Weird part about that too was Popovich wasn't even like sad after like
he just knew. Like,
yeah, that was a brutal. I mean, I'm literally like one of the world's biggest LeBron fans, but. It saved his legacy in a sense to like keep it a debate with him and Jordan, like legitimately.
Dude, they lose that game. They lose that game. Chris Bosh is not on the Heat the next year.
No
way.
No.
No way. All right. Is it draft time?
I think so.
All right. So this week's starting five, because we are a Cincinnati-based network. Shout out Kevin again for this great idea. It is drafting Cincinnati-based NBA players. And again, this goes back to, did you play college, UC, or Xavier? Are you from the greater Cincinnati area? Or did you play high school in the greater Cincinnati area? So OJ Mayo, Bill Walker, they qualify for this draft, obviously, for being North College Hill guys. You know, obviously all the Moeller kids, some of them in the league, two of them in the league now. So there's that. And then obviously the colleges. So, all right, how should we do this? So should we draft pick lottery it and go rando?
Sure.
Because I forgot where we were at in the orders. Yep. All right, let me pull it up real fast. Whoops. Da 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 da. Da da da. All right. Bear with me, folks, because my computer decided to be really dumb on me as we're just giving you riveting content. All right. All right, let's share the screen here. Let's see how this goes. Present.
I'm gonna have to get close to the computer real quick.
All right, we got some terrible ad here. All right.
Cuban looks like a ghoul there.
Yeah. All right. So third, remember you get the wraparound with the snake rules. It's gonna be Sean.
Okay.
Second is Parker. So I am the first pick. All right.
Rigged.
Seems fixed. Seems fixed.
Fixed.
Seems fixed.
Something sketchy about that, Sean. I don't know.
I can run it again if you really want me to.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
All right. It's not like it really matters. All right. Number one overall, I think is pretty easy. It's Oscar Robertson.
Yeah. Good pick. Number two overall, I think, is he the only other Hall of Famer from this? Dave Cowens.
Yep.
Dave Cowens. Okay. Okay. I'm going to go outside of the box, guys, because that's what I do here.
Yeah, you do.
He's going with Jackson Hayes.
No, I'm going to go with another old timer, and mainly because of my love for him in NBA 2K three games ago. I'm going with Mr. Wayne Embry.
That's a good pick. That's
it's a solid pick. The guy was a four-time All-Star.
I should have said, if you played for the Royals, it counts as well, because that's Cincinnati base. So,
dude, yeah, he averaged 19-13 in 62. Let's go. Let's go.
Perfect. Who do you team with Wayne Embry at pick four?
19-13 in 62. It's so funny. Sean was there, apparently.
Yeah,
I was there. God, you're so young, Parker. All right, so next pick, I'm going to go another Cincinnati guy. I'm going to Kenyon Martin.
Oh, Wayne Embry and Kenyon Martin.
Next pick.
That's my front court right now. Let's go.
It's a good pick.
Yeah, it is a good pick. All right, so me, mm-hmm. I'm going with a point guard here. Give me Nick Van Exel.
Oh!
Nice. No, you didn't.
Man. Was on my list. All right, that's fine. So I guess I have Oscar, so I guess that wouldn't have been that great. But
I wrote down a pool of 12 players. I'm trying to read them over here, like squinting.
Well, Sean picked Kenyon Martin. And so I'm gonna
my pool too.
I'm going to take the better player. I'm going to take David West, two-time All-Star, two-time NBA champion, AP Player of the Year. You name it. Should have beat Duke. And
easily best Xavier player of all time in the NBA.
Yeah. Yeah. Then I will go. So I need a big. Let me pull up my sheet real quick.
Your sheet, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was a lot of this. Let's take our guy, Sean. Let's take our good friend, Corey Blunt.
Corey Blunt's best gets we've ever had.
Dude, Great stories. Unbelievable stories. I got to get him back.
I could listen to that guy talk for hours.
He was the best. Yeah.
He really was. Okay. Whose turn is it now?
Parker's. Parker. Okay. Wait. Went on.
You have two picks, right?
Yeah, I did. I took David West and Corey Blunt to go with Oscar.
Oh,
yeah.
My bad.
Yep.
I was over here scouting for my next pick. All right. I have 15 names on here. I have their stats as well for career. I'm going with Brian Grant to be my power forward.
Also been
he averaged over 10 points per game for his career. Solid career. Had a high of 16 in his career. So
not the best guess we've ever had either.
No.
He was rude.
He was rude. He just wasn't very entertaining.
Oh, no.
Okay. It didn't sound like he really cared about Xavier at all.
No, he did not.
So a girl that I work with went to his high school, and she said that I guess he donated a bunch of money to her high school to build a football stadium, and they used it, or a football field, and they used it to build a soccer field, and he basically has completely cut them off.
Nice.
So, all right. We gonna do this? Let's see here. So I'm going all UC now. I'm doing it. All right. Here we go. So I'm not proud, guys. I'm not proud.
He's taking Jared Cumberland.
No.
There's two NBA games.
Two games played.
No. I'm taking one of my favorite UC players of all time. I'm taking Danny Fortson.
I love
from
Danny
the
Fortson.
90s. Yep. He's going to be my three. I'm going to follow that up with, gentlemen. I need a point guard. And the pickings are getting kind of slim. I'm not going to lie.
Yes, they are.
They are getting really,
well,
really
I told
slim.
You guys, it's like, we might have to, like, put guys in positions they didn't really play just to make this draft work, so.
All right. Just for fun and, you know, red season's right around the corner. I'm going to pick Shane Larkin as my point guard.
That works. Yeah.
There we go. It's my one miss.
I remember I used to be obsessed with him in college because of, like, the highlighter green shoes that Miami used to rock. Mm-hmm. They're so cool. Yeah. I used to think they were so cool. I thought Shane Larkin was so good in college. He was a really good college player. Very good.
I just talked to Byron about him like the other day.
Really? Is he still playing overseas somewhere?
Yeah, he's playing in Turkey.
How old is he now? Like 30-ish, probably?
Yeah.
That's what I was about to say. He's probably like close to 30.
Yeah, around there. All right, Parker, you are up.
All right, I'm going to go with a current player. Well, actually, he's not playing right now this season, but Edmund Sumner. I've met him in real life, so that's why I'm drafting him. He was a solid player, role player in the league. He's had nice moments. He's going to play the two-guard position.
I like it. All right, so for my next pick, I'm going to go to Xavier, guys. Let's just have some fun with it, shall we? All right, I'm going James Posey, two-time NBA champ. And then I'm going to take the most fun college player that I recall in for a very short time there for his 1 year at Xavier, Jordan Crawford.
Perfect.
Bucket.
He was really good.
Just a bucket.
Yeah.
That's an all right starting five. I'm not in love with it, but.
All right. Okay. And then my last pick to be, he's going to play the small forward, even though he's not really a small forward. I'm going to take Tyrone Hill. Played 14 years in the NBA, solid career.
He's hanging up in the rafters and toss.
Very solid. Yeah, he was like their most famous player for a number of years. Yeah,
Jackson Hayes was on my board. I thought about it, you know.
Deuce was on mine.
Your guys' players couldn't match up with Hayes' athleticism in this day and age. Wait, what was the guy Sean drafted? The three-time All-Star?
Holy crap.
Wade Embry?
Yeah, dude, Wade Embry's not stopping Hayes at the rim.
He's a five-time All-Star, okay, for one. Two-time NBA Executive of the Year as well. So let's
and now we're drafted
respect.
On GM, GM
oh,
status.
Yeah, we can. We will.
I was thinking about Luke Babbitt too. He was on the draft board.
All right, so I'm gonna pick one of the NBA's greatest players of all time. He is the gentleman that Tim once said he could beat at basketball, mm-hmm. And I'm taking one-time Cincinnati Royal. I'm taking Bob Cousy as my two.
Still stand by it. He couldn't guard me.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
I'm beating Bob Cousy 21-1. Yeah. I'll give him 3 points.
Yeah.
So my starting five: Wayne Embry, Kenyon Martin, Danny Fortson, Shane Larkin, and one Bob Cousy.
I got Oscar Robertson.
What a motley crew.
Yeah. I got Oscar Robertson, Jordan Crawford, James Posey, David West, Corey Blunt.
I got
that team's gonna get in some fights.
Yes, they are.
Who I got? Tyrone Hill, Edmund Sumner. Was it Brian Grant?
Yep.
I gotta look back on my list. Who the hell else? Dave Cowens. Who was my fifth player I drafted? Who was my point guard? Oh, Nick Van Exel.
Parker might have the best team of the three. Parker might have won this one.
He did. And how did we not bring up Jerry Lucas?
Or like, Jack Twyman?
Or nope. Jack.
I know Jerry Lucas. Who's Jack Twyman?
Son, you need to learn. He's only hanging in the rafters at Fifth Third Arena.
Go look him up, dude. Just look him up. His picture is incredible.
Let me look him up. Hold up. Jack Twyman. From 34 he was born. So what was he playing in the NBA in the 50s?
Something like that.
Hall of Famer. Yeah. Hall of Famer.
Got that crew cut.
Yep. Hall of Famer. What overall? 10th overall pick in the 55 draft.
There you go.
Six-time All-Star, man. Very nice. So,
of course,
32 a game 1 year. Holy shit.
To keep this, my favorite part of these drafts is the guys we forgot.
Yeah.
So we've just mentioned a couple of them.
Shaq was me and Tim.
That was hilarious. Other big names we forgot. Lance Stevenson, not picked.
Yeah.
Ruben Patterson, not picked.
Yeah, that's what they should have picked him.
Jason Maxiel. DeMar Johnson. Yeah.
Okay.
God, Jacob Evans, I forgot. They go to UC. Gary Clark. All right, so that's UC side. Xavier side, I'm getting there's 19 guys who played in the league. It's not like much. Najee Marshall, current player, obviously. Just got suspended for fighting Jimmy Butler.
Solid player, too. Solid role player.
Yeah, very solid role
player. Real solid.
Derek Strong, Larry Sykes, not taken. I don't think JP McCure should have been taken, but he's also my dude, so I feel bad I didn't. And then Samaj Christian did play a whole season with Oklahoma City.
And then Jackson Hayes and Deuce.
Yeah, current guys. Colby Jones, obviously currently in the league as well. So
yeah. Who's the best of these guys that are currently in the league?
Probably Najee.
Would you say? Yeah. I'd say, yeah. Deuce is actually pretty good, honestly.
Yeah, Deuce is pretty good. Yeah,
he is a good backup.
It's Deuce or Najee.
Yeah, Hayes is like for like one out of every three games, Hayes is just like a monster in there. Yeah. But then it's inconsistent. When he hustles though, he's a freak.
Yeah, LeBron seems to like playing with him.
Yeah, because I mean he's just athletically insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they always play those 6 minutes ADs out each half with Hayes and LeBron in the pick and roll.
All right. Nasty so combo. Let's see. Who has not picked a draft at all? All right. So Sean gave us that 7-footer draft last week, and that was a nightmare. Was not very easy to do. So I'm going to give next week's draft to Parker.
All right. Let's do a pre-NBA merger players draft.
I am going to lose this draft for
sure.
We're going to start
talking about Dolph Shade. We're going to start Cousy.
Terry DeShinger.
Oh my God.
Wait, what was the guy you drafted today? Wayne Embry.
Wayne Embry.
Put some respect on his name. Jeez.
2K Pink Diamond Vault Legend.
He is the prototype of Draymond, what Draymond Green became. Recognize.
My bad. I got to put respect on Wayne Embry's name. That is how most of us know these guys is from 2K.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Legitimately, even though I hate using those players, honestly, I hate using the super old time players.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Well, folks, that's going to wrap us up tonight on this week's edition of NBA Friday. Here, as always, brought to you by Riverfront U. Thanks for hanging out with us. We had a lot of fun. So tune in next week, as always, and check us out on all of our apps and pods of choice. On behalf of Sean and Parker, This is Tim Daniel. Take it easy, everyone.